Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you into the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by the magical beard of fantasy himself. We have Matt Franciscovich in the building. What's up?
I'm here, man. I'm ready to go. We're almost halfway through the season.
Oh, baby. We basically
technically
are halfway.
We are in the fantasy regular season.
You know what
we're
saying?
We're halfway.
I like it. I like it. We got the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gailhart. What's cracking?
Just trying to grind over here as we start this podcast. I'm working on the matchups column still.
Multitasking. I
want to get it up for people early, and I am excited for my day off tomorrow. I would like to sleep in a little bit.
Today
like
is it. Your Friday.
Today is my Friday.
Nice.
Lovely. We have Matt Harmon, the wide receiver prognosticator himself. What's up?
I'm good, man. It's good to be here. I don't have too much else to say. Let's just get moving until someone is a little less pissed off.
What? I'm not upset.
He's only had 3 cups of coffee.
I've had 2.
Just give him some time.
I've had 2. Thank you.
Needs to get to his normal 7 before 10.
We have. Wow. Producer Chris.
James
in
Coe.
The building as well.
Hey,
What's
man. I didn't get on the text chain this morning.
Oh,
what's
my
up with
bad.
That, bro?
I know.
Wow.
I'm sitting here in the closet.
Shade.
My bad.
Sitting here in the closet. I feel like I was being punked. Nobody was here for 15 minutes, but, you know.
Before we get into the football, can I just share a moment that happened with us while we were waiting for you in this room? We had the door open.
Okay.
First of all, we're in this conference room on the third floor of our building. Second floor. All the lights are off out in the main area.
Yeah.
And we're over here talking about
our Jake Brissett
Jacoby Brissett on Monday night and brisket gifts that these guys were tweeting out, and we're being loud about it. And this woman comes over, she had just gotten in, and she goes, "Hey, can I shut this? Because we're being like loud idiots laughing." And we're like, "Yeah, sure." And she slams the door shut.
Well, this is again a reminder that we're underground radio today.
Underground radio.
Damn.
But honestly, like the longer. At first we were kind of all like,
"Wow,
whoa, that was aggressive." But then, like the longer we talked about it, I'm like, "You know what? I kind of see her side of the story."
It's 8:00 in the morning, and we're screaming about brisket.
Yeah,
and gifts.
She
and
was
all
like,
"Sorts of things." Like
I don't want to start my day like this.
But
so
also,
I'm going to slam the door.
Just
on
enjoy
you guys.
Yourself a little bit.
That's what
don't
I'm saying.
Don't take yourself so seriously.
But
what's going on?
Not only have we been kicked out of the podcast studio,
we're
now disrupting the flow of actual work. Pretty soon we're going to have to do this from under the 405 where Harmon lives in his tent.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I got to work on the Wi-Fi in that place, though.
Spotty.
Wow.
Off to a roaring start.
Yeah. This is good. This is good stuff. Great show in front of us here today. We're going to talk about players to drop. Now, he's not part of the podcast right now, as of this moment.
He's too famous.
MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, pens a great column. Players to drop, does very, very well. We'll also be talking about trade calls. Is it time to buy Michael Thomas? Is it time to sell Larry Fitzgerald? We will ask the creator, the writer of Trade Calls, Matt Franciscovich, what his takes are on those two players. We'll get to your deep sleepers. We'll get to every damn game. But we start your show, as we always do, with your top headlines.
News.
I like turtles. Zeke drama rolls on. A judge issued a temporary restraining order on the suspension, meaning Zeke can play for the next 2 weeks. Then he and his attorneys, along with the league and their attorneys, will see another judge who would then rule whether to allow the NFL to suspend Zeke for those 6 games. Or stay the suspension until all the legal stuff is figured out, like we saw in the Tom Brady Deflategate case.
Fun.
Right. This is what we need. All you need to know for fantasy and real-life football as well for right now is for the next 2 weeks, Zeke is in the clear. And then they start another whole legal proceeding, and then we'll see where we're at. But there is a report from David Moore of the Dallas Morning News, so it's a credible place, that the two sides – this is not fake news, by the way. David Moore from Dallas Morning News says that the two sides – are working on a settlement right now that would take this out of court. Moore speculates that if the two sides were to reach a deal, and of course it's a big if, the suspension would then be for 2 or 3 games, not the 6, but just take it out of court, they reach a settlement, and then everyone moves on. So that's
interesting.
It's a very interesting development there. And again, a report from David Moore from the Dallas Morning news. Just something to keep in mind. There's not a whole hell of a lot fantasy-wise, I don't think, really, to get into that. But obviously, Zeke being the name that he is, we get that out of the way. Just give you the info that you need, and we'll move on. Yeah. Andrew Luck suffered an undisclosed setback on his shoulder. There's speculation that Luck could miss the rest of the season altogether, although Andrew Luck himself has been, you know, pretty, I don't want to say vocal, but I mean, he's let it be known that he will be back at some point this season. From a fantasy perspective, I guess it doesn't really matter. He's a drop. You're not playing him. I mean, you're not holding on.
You shouldn't have been picking him up beforehand because there was no clear timetable. I know some people were like, oh, stash Luck, but why would you burn a bench spot on a guy that we don't know when he's going to come back?
Mm-hmm. Silly.
And now this is just exactly why you shouldn't do that. So hopefully if you picked him up, drop him, and lesson learned.
I feel like we haven't talked enough about, as you guys mentioned, Jake Brisket, Jacoby Brissett. But what do you guys take on his play? It's been relatively up and down, but from a fantasy perspective, Jacoby Brissett, what's your thoughts, man franchise?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this trend a couple times. We were talking before we started recording. He seems to do well in the first half, like he did against Seattle a few weeks ago, and then he did against Tennessee Monday night. And then the second half comes, and he just, like, can't really move the ball. He can't get anything done, and it's kind of concerning, especially against a defense like Tennessee who had given up so many points to running backs. Like, I think T.Y. Hilton only had one catch in that game.
It's weird.
It was a weird game plan. It was like they didn't make any adjustments, and I'm concerned. Like, I like Brissett, and I think he can do well in favorable matchups like we've seen, but on the road against a leaky Titans secondary, a little concerning for me.
This week, his matchup's not great either.
Yeah, no. Don't touch him this week against the Jags.
But he's a matchup-based starter. He's got some running upside. He's got a good arm. He can make all the throws. You just play him in the right matchups.
Yeah. So, ownership percentage for Dante Moncrief is still pretty high.
Yeah. I don't want to own any of these guys other than
T.Y.
Hilton.
Yeah.
Any of those pass catchers. I mean, Jack Doyle is fine. He had kind of a poor game on Monday night.
Poor real-life game, but then it was pretty good in fantasy.
Right.
He
scored the touchdown.
Yeah, so he's someone to keep around, especially just with the way the tight end position is. But look, in a league where we're constantly berated by watching Matt Cassel and quarterbacks like that, I'm pretty content with what we've gotten from Jacoby Brissett. I think he's an exciting player that's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
You know, I think if Luck misses the rest of the season, Brissett could once again be, you know, on the trade block. Maybe somebody else tries to pick him up and continue. I mean, he's only a second-year player.
That's the thing.
He's got a lot of room to grow still, you would think. So I've really been impressed overall with what I've seen.
Me too. I mean, even though the fact that I think a lot of people were kind of like, who the hell is Jacoby Brissett when we saw him last year with the Patriots? Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, he's a third-round draft pick. As you mentioned, he's a second-year player.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown that he's got some athleticism. He's got a big arm. I don't know. I think this guy is absolutely a starter in this league. I mean, especially given what we see around.
I agree. There's not much we can draw from that now because he's just going to be starting for the Colts, and next year, who the hell knows?
Who knows?
But I agree. He's great. He should be starting somewhere.
And he's got to learn from Tom Brady and now Andrew Luck. So that's a decent start.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
All right, stat that surprised me, man. Shady McCoy. I saw this on my timeline, and I had to double-check. I'm like, this is not true, but it is. Shady McCoy has yet to score a touchdown. I didn't realize that because from a fantasy perspective, I guess I play in quite a few PPR leagues, so he's been pretty good, actually. He hasn't been disastrous, I'll put it that way. He had one bad week, but overall, I think he's been actually okay, especially in PPR. So I was surprised to see this. But
he leads the league in touches for a running back without a touchdown.
That's crazy.
So I'm actually writing about this for the Next Gen Stats column that comes out today.
Yeah.
And you're right. It feels unfair to call him like a disappointment. He's 13th in points per game at the running back position in PPR.
That's not bad.
Leads the Bills in targets. His 27 catches is 6th among running backs, despite the fact that he's had his bye week. But it's definitely been a slog on the ground. He hasn't cleared 3.8 yards per carry in any game since week one.
Wow.
And I think it's a kind of a, looking at the next gen stats, it's kind of a mix of both. So in 2016, he averaged 1.65 yards before a defender closed within 1 yard of him. That was the best mark for any running back with 100 carries. It's the numbers down to 0.4, which is still it's 16th among backs with 40 or more carries, so it's still above the average, but the blocking clearly has taken a small step back.
Yeah.
The big difference, though, is last year he was averaging 3.77 yards before or after defenders closed within a yard of him,
yeah.
So he's great at making people miss. This year it's down to 2.77. And I mean, he's among, like, the Robert Turbin, Eddie Lacy group. So
no.
I think it's – you know, he's 29 years old. It's fair to say that he's probably maybe taken a step back. But for fantasy, he's got a great schedule, and it starts this week in an awesome matchup against the Bucks, who just helped resurrect Adrian Peterson last year. So
that's a very good point. I mean, you think about the way he plays, too. Those two numbers that you mentioned, you know, the yards gained before a defender closes in and then the yards gained after a defender closes in. For a guy like Shady McCoy, those two things have an interplay. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Because of his speed, once he gets a little bit of a build-up speed going – boy, he is tough to bring down, especially with one guy. So I think those two things kind of mix together. But you're right. I mean, what's he averaging right now on the ground? 3.2 yards per carry? Something
yes.
bad.
There was a storyline that in their bye they watched all of his runs and noted some things that should be cleaned up and corrected and
okay.
executed on those in practice. So.
So from
narrative
a
alert.
Well, from a fantasy perspective, Alex, I mean, what do you do with Shady McCoy? I mean, right now, as we mentioned, he's not that bad in PPR. I would, if you wanted to sell him, I think you could.
I don't know that I'd sell him.
I would buy.
Yeah, he's got great volume, and like Matt said, he's got a good schedule. I would not give up on Shady McCoy.
Yeah, that the problem with saying he's a buy though is like I think that. He's hasn't been disappointing enough to where
right.
people are going to want to sell him. Like we're saying 13th in points per game. Like I own LeSean McCoy in the Fantasy Live League. It's the only league I own him in.
Yeah.
And I've had that same like feeling a couple times. I'm like, do I want to sell on McCoy? I'm like, no, I'm pretty content with what I'm getting out of him. And
yep.
like I would feel pretty, you know, I would feel attacked if somebody sent me like some buy low offer
right.
for McCoy.
Cause
I'm
okay.
pretty content with what I'm getting. So, try to buy on him before this week, but
sure.
I don't know if it's going to work.
The other thing, we talked about the touchdowns. Like Mike Tolbert is there. He could vulture goal line looks.
Yeah.
And Tyrod Taylor can run it in, too. From
That's true.
You know, so there's a couple threats when they're around the goal line that take away opportunities from
Interesting.
Him.
Interesting. But you still think he's a buy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. All right. Let's talk about players to drop. Well, actually, let's talk about Browns first, just because I want to get this off my chest.
Browns.
I mean, Browns. What y'all doing, man? I just gotta get this off my. Look, it's not even that fantasy relevant. But I mean, Browns, what y'all doing, man? I mean, DeShone Kizer back in there as a starter after just 1 week.
I think hopefully that's good for Duke Johnson because he didn't do much last week.
That's a good point. But Kevin Hogan now
yeah.
has slid to third on the depth chart. Hugh Jackson has made 10 quarterback changes. In the past 22 games.
Jeez.
10 quarterback changes in the last 22 games. I know some of that was injury related.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is not, though. And 10 quarterback changes in 22 games, that's asinine.
Yeah. Well, he was in a weird spot where, like, it'd be great if he could develop DeShone Kizer, you know, and just, like, kind of live with the mistakes. But he was so bad during stretches that it's like, he's got to try to get a win, man. I don't know.
Yeah?
So. I don't know.
I don't disagree
Cleveland's
with that.
Cleveland's bad. I don't know what to say.
I mean, but if you want to develop him, then just roll Kevin Hogan out there for 6 games. It's a mess over there.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get it off my chest. That's
it
all.
Is quite a mess.
Let's talk about players to drop. Marcus Grant, Pensacolam, players to drop. Was this the first week that
Second week?
It's doing pretty well, so go check it out. You can find that on NFL.com/fantasy. All right. One of the players he says to drop, he's got two very big-name players on his drop list. One is Marshawn Lynch. What say you guys? I know you guys have not been terribly, you know, optimistic about Marshawn, but the fact of the matter remains, I mean, he's a starting running back in this league behind a pretty good offensive line. I was surprised to see him as a straight drop recommendation from Marcus Grant. What say you, franchise?
I understand where he's coming from. I don't know if I agree with just straight out dropping Marshawn Lynch. The Oakland offense is just struggling right now. Like, they can't get Amari Cooper going. Derek Carr's been injured. And we've talked about Lynch's role in this offense. He's an early down, first half kind of guy, and they're trying to limit his workload. And if they're not winning in the second half, he's not going to be on the field. So I understand it from a playing time standpoint.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe you just bench him and hold on to him. I don't know if I outright drop him.
He's played 42% of the snaps and is getting 12 carries a game.
Yeah.
On a bad offense. That's not scoring points.
Yeah. That's the problem.
I would drop him for Deion Lewis, probably.
Yeah.
Like, I would much rather have Deion Lewis and his expanding role in a high-scoring, up-tempo offense than Lynch. He just – it's like, what does he offer you right now? At first, when Marcus did it, I kind of bristled. I was like, I think it might be a touch early. And then I was like, for the matchups column, I was looking at everything Marshawn has done. I was like, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I think I said this on the podcast last week. Like, if you take the name off the back of the jersey, like, this is the worst kind of asset to own in fantasy. A two-down back who's not playing more than 50% of the snaps on a bad offense.
Bad offense. Yeah. And defense is not that great either.
No, that's what makes it worse. And Oakland is actually dead last in plays per game this year. So they're playing slow. They're not, like you said, they're not an up-tempo offense. And I think Oakland can eventually kind of find themselves later in the year. But, it's tough right now to saddle yourself with a player like this. Like I said, you cannot play him at all.
You paid like early third round pick for Marshawn Lynch, and you know we were saying not to do that.
Yeah.
We were telling people not to draft him that early.
Right.
But people wanted the name, and they thought he was just going to be Latavius Murray, 2017 with 12 touchdowns because the Oakland offense was so good last year. Mm-hmm. But
there were things we couldn't foresee. We did not foresee Derek Carr breaking his back. We did not foresee
even before he broke his back,
Amari Cooper breaking his spirit and ability. I don't know what's happening there. So like there were factors that came in, but this is why and this is why I like Marcus's column is because you need to detach yourself from the draft price you paid in these guys, which leads us into the next one on the list.
It's Terrell Pryor. Marcus Grant says drop Terrell Pryor. And as you mentioned, Alex, I was the same way. I was like, you can't drop Terrell Pryor. But then I started thinking about his role, started thinking about, what's happening in this offense for him. It's just
– I mean, Kirk Cousins is playing well, and Terrell Pryor's not doing anything.
That's the thing.
It's so weird.
That's the thing.
None of the pass catchers are because he's spreading around so well. I think I saw somebody tweet this yesterday that, Kirk Cousins is the QB8 right now, but Pryor's the wide receiver 66. Crowder's the wide receiver 90-something.
Oh, my God.
And Jordan Reed is the tight end 40-something.
Oh, my.
So like,
meanwhile, Chris Thompson.
and Ryan Grant has two or three touchdowns.
Right.
Jordan Reed, the tight end 40. There's been 39 other players who have done something then, I guess.
They've played. So the
can you name 39 other tight ends in this league?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, Reed was
banged
up.
I'd waste the whole rest of the podcast.
I was going to say, if I had a pen and paper, I'd start doing it right now. But so for Washington, they have 1, 2, 3, 4 different players with 20-plus targets. No player has more than 26.
Yeah. They're spreading it around.
Davis has 12. Ryan Grant has 7. Dachshund, 17. Dachshund has 9. That's all Cousins does.
And there's a report this week that they want to get Josh Doctson more involved. Jay Gruden said himself.
Which they should,
Things are not looking good for Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, I think with all of these situations, there's two things that this makes me think about. And Marcus's article is a good outline for this because for me, if you got to ask yourself the question, what's the story that you can tell yourself that's going to change for these guys? Mm-hmm. Marshawn, I think I can tell kind of a story of how Oakland gets right and whatever, but with Terrell Pryor, what's the story to tell yourself that something is going to be different than what we've seen?
They're not going to start pummeling them with targets.
Nope.
Yeah, because they've never been. I mean, that's what I was saying before the season with Terrell Pryor. They've never been that team. They always spread it out. And
I don't know, is that true? I thought last year it was heavy Deshaun, heavy Pierre Garçon.
It was yardage wise, but not volume wise. Neither one of those guys saw. I don't think they saw more than 120 targets.
Okay, I think all three of them finished as the wide receiver 31, 32, 33, or something like that.
They just don't have a straight funnel receiver with Terrell Pryor had 150 targets in Cleveland. And the second thing this makes me think, and especially with Marshawn, you can't just do analysis during fantasy now Marshawn is going to get dropped into Latavius Murray's role. And as long as he's just as good as Latavius Murray, because teams are not static year to year. Things change so quickly.
Right.
And we're seeing that, I think, with both of these players. These are great examples of that you can't just take just slide him into what Oakland was last year. Teams change year to year.
Yeah. All right. So you talk about telling yourself a story. Is there a story that you can tell yourself where Amari Cooper gets it right in 2017?
You know, Chris Wessling said something about this on the ATN podcast 2 weeks ago. He was basically it's hard to know what to do with the data that a player like Amari Cooper is giving you right now, because you know he's good. I mean, you know he's a good football player, but he's cleared, I think he hasn't had over 70 yards receiving in his last like 14 games or something like that. I mean, it has been it's a trend now going back to even into last season. So I don't know. I don't think you can drop Amari Cooper because it seems like just a him issue, and there's also like other things going on around him in terms of his quarterback's injury. The offense hasn't played well. I think, like, again, Oakland, I think that it could start clicking at some point. So I think you just basically bench him, you don't play him, and you just kind of wait. Nobody's going to buy him. Nobody's going to sell him. I think you just kind of hold and just wait to see what happens.
Gilhar?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think it's like you said, the telling yourself a story thing. There is an easier way to look at it and be like, oh, Amari Cooper's catching fire. He's getting 8 to 12 targets a game, like, you know, the player we have seen at times in this exact same offense. But like, yeah, nobody's – I mean, you can drop him if you absolutely have to, but it's dicey. And it has been almost a year, actually, since Amari Cooper went over 100 yards. It was on October 30th,
really?
I think week eight or nine against the Buccaneers. He went 12 for 173 in a touch.
Jeez.
Yeah, I was wrong. He had 76 yards in week 15, but then, yeah, that against
so
Tampa Bay.
One.
Yeah.
So he's had one over his last 14, 15 games?
Yeah, it's ugly. I mean, this is a pretty long-standing sample size right now.
It's a pretty long I guess I'm surprised, you know, that some of these other guys, you know, might be a drop, but Amari Cooper's not. I don't know. I just watch him play. I think about the offense. I just think more and more that he is – if you're in a 10-team league, forget it. I would just drop him and see what else is out there on the waiver wire.
I just think the situation is there for him where it's not for the other guys.
I see.
So,
all right, I got you. Let's talk about trade calls. NFL.com/trade calls. Bye, bye, bye. Shill, shill, shill. Matt Franchise writes a terrific piece called Trade Calls. Again, it's NFL.com/trade calls. One of the more controversial ones you got on here, sell Larry Fitzgerald. What's your thoughts there?
You know, real quick,
That
we could probably get the audio for that. That's not
trade
our
calls.
That is our own audio. I don't think our legal team would be afraid of us suing each other in house.
Well, so, you never know.
I did appreciate you, James, going sell, buy, buy, buy.
That's a good point. We should probably get the audio for that.
We could.
Did somebody find the audio?
But I have I have so much fun saying.
It's just fun to sell.
Trade calls. Trade calls.
Well,
okay,
whatever you want to do.
Right. Franchise.
Larry, all right. So look, Larry went off last week, 138 yards and a touchdown. I think
he
it was
did.
His second best game of the year, which is nice. You know, it's nice. He's getting pummeled with targets. But my main thing here is now that Adrian Peterson is in that backfield.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer's not going to be was averaging 45 pass attempts per game before last week. He threw 22 pass attempts last week.
Right.
So that's like almost split in half.
But the bulk of it went to Larry Fitz, though.
50% of his targets.
That's crazy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Quite a lot.
Sure. But all I'm saying is he's averaging something like 11 or 12 targets a game. But that's because there's nobody else there getting the targets because John Brown is finally getting healthy again. Mm-hmm. You know, there were all these question marks with their other wide receivers, and Palmer's volume of passing was just so high.
Yeah, it was.
I think with AP back there, they're going to be a more balanced offense, and the volume is just going to come down for Larry.
Okay.
Plus, he's 34 years old, and he has a history the last 2 years of sort of fizzling out as the season gets closer to the end.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's started hot the last 2 years, and like I believe it in 2015 here, he only averaged 7 targets a game the last 4 weeks after averaging around 9 or 10. And the same trend in 2016.
Anecdotally, that does sound right.
Yeah, this one made me think when I read the piece because my first reaction was like, yeah, I completely disagree with you about selling Fitzgerald. The part that did make me think was that what you just mentioned, that the fact that he has tailed off. And I think you can explain.
He's old, man.
I think you could explain 2015 as like that's when they had Brown and Floyd start to emerge, so they had players to take looks away. I don't think that's going to happen this year. In 2016, the entire offense completely fell apart. I think that offense is trending up right now with the addition of Peterson and some of the offensive linemen returning. So I think I'm okay with that. You know, maybe that's the wrong – I could easily be wrong on both explanations. It could just be the fact that Fitzgerald slows down because he's old. But I think that he's still in a really good position to continue to be a volume hog, have a great floor, even if his ceiling comes down. I mean, the fact that he accrued most of his production in the first quarter of this game last week, which gives you some comfort, even though they have gotten their running game going.
It was also against a Bucs defense that can't stop slot receivers this year. And the matchups coming up, he has to play the Texans, Jaguars, Seahawks, and has unfavorable matchups in 7 of his next 9 games to end the season.
I don't think the Seahawks and Jags matchup is all that bad.
Because he's a slot guy.
Yeah, because he's a slot guy. Like, the Seahawks tend to give up production to middle-of-the-field receivers. Mm-hmm. The Texans, I mean, really, they don't scare me at all at this point.
Their secondary is still banged up. Yeah. I don't think Kevin Johnson has played.
They've lost their two of their best pass rushers. And Jacksonville, what you want to do is attack them in the middle of the field.
Yep.
Like, a lot of tight ends have big games against them, and Fitzgerald kind of plays like a tight end at this point of his career. I mean, they're not going to throw into the teeth of Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye with, like, John Brown and Jerron Brown in that game. So.
I mean, but that being said, though, if the Seahawks and the Jags don't alter their defensive game plan to take away Larry Fitzgerald, I would be shocked.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do, though. But so to me, I think the positive factors still outweigh. I have Fitzgerald in a few leagues, and I would not be selling. But
yeah,
it's hard.
I mean, this article is like, he blew up last week. He's a wide receiver too.
Yeah.
If you need help at another position, he's a guy you could probably
sell
high
on
for value.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the point. I'm not saying
don't move him.
Look to move Larry Fitzgerald if you're like first in your league.
Trade
and you're
for
like
a kicker.
You know, these are just options of like guys.
No, yeah, exactly.
You know, guys who have done well that might not do so well in the second half.
Right.
I'm saying my Larry Fitzgerald for Harrison Butker trade in a PPR league wasn't good.
Probably shouldn't have done that.
He's been kicking so many field goals.
Butker's basically a wide receiver too.
But it's a good part about. I mean, that's a good part about this column. Like, you can have debates on both sides. Yes.
Yeah, but you know, it gives people options. I mean, people are commenting like, "Oh, I'm not selling Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not selling Michael Thomas." Blah blah blah. I'm like, okay.
We get it, pal.
It's just options, okay? These are trade candidates.
Yeah. One of the hot names, I think, that has been on the trade block in a lot of different leagues is Michael Thomas because, again, there were so many high hopes for Michael Thomas coming into the season. He was a late first, early second-round draft pick. It just hasn't quite been that way for MT. So you have him as a buy, though.
Yes.
And I think this is it's an interesting call. Explain your reasoning here.
He had 11 yards last week.
It was bad.
It was bad. It was his lowest week of the year, but the Saints
put up over 50 points. Oh, no. Thomas
had 11 yards.
But the Saints defense scored 3 touchdowns.
No, yep. I know.
And Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara did all the work. It was a running back game.
The Saints had 16 possessions in that game. Like, you're just not going to eat as a pass catcher if your offense only.
I think he had 6 targets, which is really low for Michael Thomas. And Ted Ginn had the touchdown. So,
the three games
prior to that.
Yeah.
Thomas was averaging 88 receiving yards a game and had 2 touchdowns.
That's really good.
Span.
Yeah, that's really good.
He's 13th among NFL receivers in targets. He owns a 23% target market share in the Saints offense. Drew Brees is still a pass-heavy offense.
Oh, yeah.
He's averaging 36 pass attempts per game. And there's favorable matchups against the Packers and Bucks in 2 of the next 3 games. So
I like it.
I like buying into Michael Thomas. Right?
I have Michael Thomas in a lot of different leagues, and people have been coming at me hard for MT. I'm just like, bro, I am not selling, man. I'm riding this baby out.
Right.
But
if the guy who owns him in your league is like, oh, man, he only had 1 point last week.
And that's the other thing. I'm seeing a lot of frustration online for Michael Thomas as well. So, I mean, I've seen in numerous places, I'm fed up. I'm done with Michael Thomas.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's a great name because he is, I think, very active on the trade market right now.
Yeah.
Let me throw this out again. I threw it out last week. I'll throw it out again. Stephon Diggs continues to miss practice with that sore groin injury. We don't know if he's going to play this week. But even if he does, you got to think he's going to be limited.
Yeah.
Is he a sell high candidate? I broached this topic last week. And I'll do it again because I still firmly believe that Diggs is an excellent sell-high candidate. But what do you guys think?
I don't know that anybody's going to want to buy him while he's injured at the correct price. And I still maintain that him missing last week, and I would think here at Thursday morning, he probably is going to miss this week too.
Yeah,
I think him missing
a bye in week nine.
Yeah, I think him missing these two games is probably better for him down the stretch. I mean, he was just not the same player trying to play through this same injury last year. So I would hold Diggs. I don't think you're going to get – people just don't want to buy injured players. So
yeah,
that's what it comes down to for me.
Plus, Teddy could be coming back. Teddy coming.
In one of my leagues 2 weeks ago, I got an offer for Stephon Diggs and an offer for Devontae Parker, and I was like, nah. And now I'm like, man, I should have done that. Mm-hmm. I should have done that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But I'm with Harmon. It's too hard. It's too hard to try and trade or package a player who's injured.
Yeah, it's tough.
Because people are going to be hesitant, like, well, I could get him, and then he could aggravate his injury or whatever. And plus, like, we know his upside is just massive if he gets right.
I mean, wide receiver one. Wide receiver one.
Yeah, he was there for a couple weeks, so I would hold him.
All right, let's talk about deep sleepers. Matt Harmon, kick us off.
Yeah, so my guy is actually a Colt, Marlon Mack.
Yeah,
so Robert Turbin is out for the season now. Which is crazy.
That injury was gruesome.
Yeah, it was ugly from what I saw. I don't think that was when I was trying to get my car off the roof, which, by the way, I did.
Oh, okay,
but I did manage to catch it later. But Turbin was actually playing, you know, anywhere between 25% to 30% of the snaps every week, so his absence is at least going to be somewhat decent. Like, he wasn't just a complete bit player. I think Mac picks up some of those snaps.
Yep.
We've definitely been waiting for him to get more touches. That could start to happen this week. I mean, he's definitely a total boom bust play, but he plays the Jaguars this week, who we note that they are an awesome, just outrageously good pass defense, but they give up 5.4 yards per carry to running backs, which is the most of any team in the NFL. They're definitely what people call a funnel defense. So I really like Mac this week as, like, just a total ceiling play.
All right, Wiz, what you got?
Bobby Woods.
Bobby Woods.
Now, here's the thing. So the Rams are going across the pond to play the Cardinals.
Yes.
In London. Patrick Peterson has been battling a quad injury that, like, retightened up this week. And also, rather sneakily, Robert Woods has been kind of consistent. He's had 5-plus catches and 66-plus yards in 3 of his last 4 games.
He's their best wide receiver.
He's also tied with Julio.
Stop it.
This is a sad stat, but he's also tied with Julio Jones for the 5th most targets without a touchdown in the NFL.
Oh.
So he is hashtag due.
At least he had like what should have been a touchdown.
Right.
He's even closer than Julio to
him. But I think Woods, he's the most consistent player there. He's getting some volume. Patrick Peterson could be messed up. We know the rest of that Arizona secondary is exploitable outside of Patrick Peterson. It's just really like he's locking down that one person and everybody else is like running around with
the
headset. I'm like, what's going on?
It's 100% true.
So I think Woods is in a good spot. This game could feature some points. They got two pretty good offenses, and I like Woods.
You like Woods better than Kupp?
I like Woods better than Kupp.
Okay.
Just his target volume has been a little more consistent.
That's true. Okay.
I know Goff has eyes for Kupp.
He does,
and
indeed.
They probably, you know, cuddle on Saturday mornings or whatever,
wow.
But, like,
that's
hang out, go to brunch, you know.
Sure.
Leave it for the TMZ podcast.
Yeah, there we go.
That's true. But I think that's a good call.
I like Woods with the volume he's had recently and his production.
Yeah.
I will give you a wide receiver as well. Kenny Stills. Devontae Parker still not practicing. With an ankle injury, they're taking on the Jets, and the Jets have obviously surprised, but and Miami's offense has been a work in progress, putting it nicely.
Like, I love Kenny Stills, and I saw this on there, and I was like, man, I want to believe, but
I know.
It's just Jay Cutler.
I feel like that's what it is for me. I want to believe, too, so I'll put him on. I don't know. You never know. You know, he's just got to catch one ball to be a difference maker.
Again, so does Martavis Bryant.
Oh, jeez.
Well,
Stills, I feel attacked.
Stills isn't actively getting boxed out.
I know. By his own team. That was just me being frustrated. Sorry.
So I will give you Kenny Stills as a deep sleeper. Franchise, what do you got?
I'm going with Denver Broncos wide receiver Benny Fowler.
Ooh, I like this one.
Manny Sanders out. Benny Fowler already leads the team with 7 red zone targets. He scored 12.
He leads the team with 7?
Yeah.
What?
He had a season high 8 targets last week with the injuries there to the wide receivers.
Yeah.
He scored 2 touchdowns against San Diego in week 1, and the Chargers have given up 9 touchdowns to wide receivers this year.
I kind of like it. I like it a lot. Let's do EDG.
Deep.
I think that might be my danger zone guy. That's pretty good.
Benny Fowler.
I picked up Benny Fowler and Robert Woods in a league today where I have Diggs and Parker and Martavis
Bryant.
Sad. I'm just like –
Just quit. I'm just giving up.
Yeah. Oh, that's the fantasy that's, life right yeah. there. I like
my
it.
My wide receiver 2 and 3 are deep sleepers.
That is terrific. All right, let's do EDG every damn game. We'll go to the early games here. It's Baltimore taking on the Vikings in Minnesota. Jeremy Maclin and his shoulder, they're back practicing. Per Next Gen Stats, he plays 57% of his snaps in the slot or tight, so he should avoid Xavier Rhodes. If that matters, it probably doesn't. Who cares? Matt Franchise, what do you got in this game?
Well, we got one of the league's best defenses in the Vikings going yes. against one of the league's worst offenses in the Ravens.
So the Ravens are obviously going to win.
Don't start any Ravens, pretty much is what I'm going on here. Look, Ravens have a good pass defense, but teams can run on them. They're allowing 141 rush yards per game. Chicago just dropped 231 rush yards against them last week.
Crazy.
That makes, I think, both Minnesota running backs decent play. Low end flex for Latavius Murray. McKinnon's a must start. Yep. He's been beasting.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Can't trust the Baltimore running backs against a Vikings rush defense that's given up just 2 touchdowns to running backs this season, allowing 3.3 yards per carry and 71 rush yards per game. So I'm not playing any Ravens. I'm also – let's just talk about Joe Flacco real fast. Multiple interceptions in 3 of his last 4 games. Only one game with more than 1 touchdown pass. Has yet to throw for 240 yards in a game.
I tweeted that he's over his last – I think it's over his last 4 games, he has one TD, 6 picks, and is averaging in the NFL in the 2017th year of our Lord. He's averaging 166 passing yards per game over the last month.
All right.
And you know, 166.
His struggles make the entire offense
unbelievable.
Non-fantasy relevant.
Mean, this offense has been snake bitten. I mean, he's coming off a back injury. He's not very mobile. They lost Marshall Yanda.
No Danny Woodhead.
That's true.
It's bad.
It's real bad. For the Vikings, I'm not streaming Case Keenum because the Ravens have a good pass defense. In his last 2 full games, he's only put up 8 and 13 fantasy points. He's only thrown 1 pick this season. He's
protecting the ball. Like, actually, I was. They said this on Living the Stream, which is a great podcast. You should all check out too. But with the,
it's a good podcast.
With Keenum under center, the Vikings have been tough for fantasy defenses to score against. They're not turning the ball over, and he's pretty mobile. He's only been sacked a couple times. Yeah, so.
He's been good for the Vikings, but for fantasy.
For their fantasy players, he's suppressed a little bit, but also like for fantasy defense going against them. You might think it's opportune, especially with that Baltimore defense, but
he's the
road, Keenum's protecting the ball. It's a tough spot.
Keenum's
and
a
then
stud.
Just a couple more guys here. We're preparing for Diggs to not play, so prepare for that.
Okay.
In his absence, Adam Thielen should be a beast. He's one of the best receivers in the league this season. Most receptions, 38. Most receiving yards, 489 of any receiver without a touchdown this season. He's been a PPR monster, no fewer than 5 catches in every game. Saw 13 targets with Diggs out last week, 9 catches for 97 yards. So start Thielen. And then I like Kyle Rudolph too. I think he's a tight end 1 with Diggs sideline. He saw 9 targets in each of the last 2 games.
Which coincide with Diggs' injury.
Yeah.
Saints taking on Green Bay. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Well, I think the big storyline from this is obviously Brett Hundley is starting for the Green Bay Packers.
Fire him up.
I like Hundley in this spot. I did note from – it's real tough to judge him off what we saw last weekend. Like, I'm almost tempted to, like, just not take anything away from it. The one negative note is he was 2 for 10 under pressure through 2 interceptions for a 0 passer rating last week against the Vikings. But, I mean, what a difficult spot coming in on the road, unprepared against a great defense. That's a tough ask. Green Bay basically kept the offense the same, though, so that makes me feel pretty good about him. I think in a week where there's not a ton of great quarterback streaming options, I mean, people are literally asking about, like, C.J. Beathard, so I would definitely think Brett Hundley is a pretty solid sleeper here. The Saints' defense is getting better, but, like, I think almost after their big fantasy explosion last week, people might be taking it a step too far.
It's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these two teams will make each other – they'll chase each other, especially Green Bay at home. Even if they have their backup quarterback in, I still think they'll put up points. And the Saints, also spending more time on the Packers. The backfield is just a straight committee now, but I like rolling out both guys here. The Saints bleed production on to running backs through the air.
Which is good for Ty Mont, because I think that's where they're going to – use him a little bit more.
I definitely think so. And Jones can catch passes too. I mean, he might not get a ton of catches there because Ty Montgomery is present, but however, I still think if he gets opportunities, he can make good on them. So really, honestly, it's all your Packers to me, except Cobb and Martellus Bennett. I don't really want to play either of them. Glad I have your approval.
Well, I was just going to say, like, Hundley, when he came in last week,
he only looked at
Adams and Nelson, and they might try to get Cobb more involved to help relieve that pressure, but that's just like, that's wishful thinking right now, where you know he's going to pummel his two studs on the outside, and Martellus Bennett's probably going to come back to blocking more, and he's got yips like Amari Cooper style. So
yeah, he's done nothing this year. Cobb has basically done almost next to nothing since like the early part of the season, so mm-hmm. Those guys aren't in consideration. And on the Saints, I think you kind of know where your bread is buttered at this point. Obviously,
you're rolling out Snead?
No, I don't think you can play any ancillary Saints pass catchers right now.
I might throw a dart at Ted Ginn.
Yeah. He might throw one back at you.
That's a fair point.
I meant it in a positive way, Ted. No.
Jets taking on Miami. Bilal Powell has yet to practice this week because of his calf injury. As a matter of fact, it just came down. He missed practice again on Thursday.
Nope.
Looking very unlikely to play, or if he does, will be very limited. Alex Gailhard, what do you got in this game?
I'm not starting these Jets backs in this game, though, because we kind of touched on this last podcast, but the Miami run defense has been legit this year. Mm. They have not allowed a single player to rush for more than 70 yards against them.
Wow.
Legit.
And in total are allowing just 76.2 rushing yards per game to opposing backs.
Okay.
You know Forte and McGuire are going to be splitting work even if Powell's out, and just like a committee backs against an outstanding rush defense, I don't want any part of that. Maybe Forte and PPR, but that worries me.
Yeah.
Okay.
McCown, last time he played the Jets, put up 249 and a touchdown, or the Dolphins, excuse me. Yeah. He was the QB 22. And only one quarterback so far has thrown for more than one touchdown against the Dolphins. So like McCown's kind of a low end streamer. He's on the road. I'm a little concerned about that. Their pass catchers outside of ASJ are just too spotty.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know Robbie Anderson at least has the big play potential, and I believe it was the last time they played the Dolphins that he caught that very nice 69-yard touchdown.
Nice. But, oh, yeah. Late last year, right?
But that's – though. Yeah, it was this year. They played him in week two or whatever. But this is – the ultimate dart throws. But ASJ is tied for the team lead in targets with 29.
He's been a difference maker.
And he missed the first two games.
Right. I'm saying since he came back he's tied for the team lead in targets, and he's the tight end 11 in standard scoring.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
He's pretty close to graduating to every week starter over streamer.
Yep.
Cue up the vitamin C. On the Miami side, I think like the only people I'm trusting – I mean, this is a simple offense for us from fantasy too. Not trusting Jay Cutler to stream.
Nope.
Ajayi's getting a massive workload. He's got 51 carries over the last 2 weeks.
Mm.
And he's right behind Shady McCoy in terms of touches who haven't found the end zone.
Yeah.
So you gotta like Ajayi this week. They're back to that formula of riding the J train and playing good defense to win games. And then, I mean, Jarvis Landry is going to get you PPR points, and that's pretty much all you want. But I'm a little concerned about the Dolphins as a fantasy defense. They've been a pretty good real-life defense, but they've had five or fewer fantasy points in four of their five games. So, like, they're shutting teams down. They're just not producing tons of sacks and turnovers to get fantasy points.
Yeah. Carolina taking on Chicago at Soldier Field. Kelvin Benjamin battling a knee injury. Missed practice all week. Missed practice again today, Thursday. He could, I guess, go Sunday, but not looking very likely. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
He missed Wednesday practice the last 2 weeks and was fine. I guess it's a little more concerning now that he didn't practice Thursday.
Yeah.
I think they said he left practice Wednesday, which was a concern, and he's got that knee issue. So, yeah, little concerned. I mean, if he's out, Devin Funchess is like a borderline wide receiver one. He's got 10, 9, 8, 9 targets over the last month. So, I mean, I guess you got to kind of have a backup plan if you own Kelvin Benjamin. Who else is Cam Newton going to throw to?
Ed Dixon,
I guess.
Ed Dixon.
Christian McCaffrey about to get 18 targets.
I would start Christian McCaffrey if it's a full-point PPR format, but not in a standard format. And then Jonathan Stewart has rushed 26 times for 17 yards in the last two games.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't.
So
I just going to say,
can't
I
trust
just,
his backfield.
I just dropped him in a different league.
Yeah, yeah, he's. I would say he's droppable.
As a long,
for sure,
as a long-standing Jay Stu fan, it hurt a little bit. But I was like, he's just. It's for fantasy. He's not offering me anything.
Yeah.
I think the Panthers are set to get Ryan Khalil back in this game, though.
That'll be huge.
Which will be big for the run game. But big. I'm still agreeing with everything.
And I don't think you can start Stewart.
No.
The Bears side, it's pretty cut and dry.
The Bears for the. Yeah. Let me
Jordan Howard or shut it down.
Yeah, I mean Tariq Cohen is kind of like boom or bust. He's had double-digit touches in all but one game this year, but he hasn't been really efficient.
Right.
You know, he threw a touchdown pass last week.
And
like,
his snap share is not great.
Yeah, the snap share is not great. Jordan Howard's been a beast. The Panthers do have a good run defense, so don't expect 166 yards. But if he finds the end zone, he'll give you, you know, decent starter points. I think you fire up Cam Newton. The Bears have allowed, I think, 6 touchdowns to wide receivers, which is on the higher end of the league this year. So, plus, like, if Jonathan Stewart's not running, we saw Cam Newton get 71 rush yards and a touchdown last week. I think he's back in the running aspect.
For sure.
So,
I think they tried to abandon that earlier in the year, and I think they're just back to it now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Forget it. He's running.
Cards taking on the Rams. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
This game could be a pretty high-scoring game, I think, because both defenses have holes that you can pick on. The Cardinals, obviously, like Alex was saying earlier, basically whoever Patrick Peterson is not covering is going to be open. So for the Rams, I think you could definitely –
Justin Bethel just getting destroyed.
Yeah, he is. I mean, consistently getting destroyed. So I think you can kind of roll out, especially in deeper formats and flex plays, guys like Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. I mean, Sammy Watkins.
Oh, that's a no-go.
No. If Patrick Peterson is playing – you know, and he's injured right now, but if he's playing, he's going to lock up Sammy Watkins. And I also think, I mean, you know, if you're desperate at tight end, I think Tyler Higbee is worth a discussion because he's out there on the field a ton. So, and other than that, I like Goff is probably one of my favorite quarterback streamers this week.
Interesting. Ooh. Really?
Well, yeah. I mean,
even
I think
against the Cards?
Goff? Absolutely.
Dude, the Cardinals' pass defense is bad.
Dude, if Ryan Fitzpatrick came off the bench and was like the QB4 against them.
Yeah.
Yeah, even with Patrick Peterson out there.
Fair enough.
Right. No, I think, I mean, the Cardinals' pass defense has been beaten all year.
I don't think – well, hold on now. Because I thought Fitzpatrick really got going once Peterson left the game.
Yeah, but like I said, there's just – I mean, Carson Wentz diced them up.
That's true.
You know, they've been –
and Peterson's not a sure lock to play Sunday anyway.
So. No, yeah. So I think – I just – in general, I think that this is a pass defense that you can pick on. Like, their second-best pass rusher, Marcus Golden, is on IR too.
Right.
So.
I was going to say, I knew I'd put this in the matchups. They've given up 4 top 10 fantasy performances to quarterbacks through 6 weeks. Because Marcus Golden is on IR. They traded Calais Campbell. They can't rush the passer. And as we said, aside from Patrick Peterson, that secondary is one that can be picked on.
Yeah, okay. So I definitely like Goff as a streamer this
week. I like
it. On the other side of the field, I mean, the Cardinals now, I think you got to play Adrian Peterson. Of course, after what we've seen, the Rams have been beaten up on the ground a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you got to just ride that.
Plus, he's already been to London once this year, so he's got an edge on everybody else. He's familiar. His body's acclimated.
So
first player in NFL history to play 2 games in London in one season.
It's
pretty outrageous.
This is
That's funny. The
weirdest season for Adrian Peterson pretty much ever. I mean, it's just very strange. But yeah, so he'll be out there. I think you can roll him out, obviously. And Fitzgerald and Palmer, I think you're playing, and John Brown is really the only other player from this offense that you're considering.
John Brown off the injury report this week.
Let's go,
John Brown.
He's got a good matchup. I mean, these Rams secondary players, like the cornerbacks, are not guys that I'm afraid of. So
Bucks taking on Buffalo in Buffalo. Jameis Winston limited in practice with that AC joint injury. It knocked him out of that week 6 game. Ryan Fitzpatrick has a very possible revenge game against those Bills. But Alex Gallagher, what do you got here?
I'm not starting like Ryan Fitzpatrick even in a revenge game. And no. I'm not starting Jameis Winston if he somehow plays despite the fact that he did everything but throw in practice yesterday.
What does that mean? It's strange.
He did everything but throw.
I did really enjoy.
It seems kind of important.
I did really enjoy your tweet, franchise. Like, that's kind of important for a quarterback.
Like, the report came out like it was a good thing that he did everything else.
They did say he's expected to
throw
today.
The ball.
Okay, but so far the Bills have played 5 games. The QBs to face them have been QB22, QB22, QB28, QB27.
Wow.
And then QB15 was the best, the shining star.
Interesting.
This defense is coming off a bye. They're playing very good football. Not starting the quarterbacks. I think you still kind of have to start Mike Evans in season long just because he's Mike Evans and he's going to get his targets.
Volume.
When your other wide receivers are Benny Fowler and Robert Woods, you got to roll Mike Evans out.
Yeah, what are you going to pick up Ted Ginn and start him over Mike Evans? Don't think so.
I hate my life.
They have the Bills. The Bills have been why they're so good against quarterbacks. Is I think they've only allowed 2 passing touchdowns to 8 interceptions, but they've been giving up some yards to wide receivers. They've allowed the 10th most in the league.
Okay,
158.2 per game. DeSean Jackson got into the end zone last week. Didn't quite have the big game we thought. But he lines up most of the time at right wide receiver, and that's where the Bills have been beaten the most. They've given up 330 yards and 1 touchdown to the right wide receiver spot. So if you're trying to make a case to why you start D-Jax, perhaps he gets over on them there.
Okay.
Cameron Brate is tied for first in tight end receiving touchdowns with 4, and he's 6th in receiving yards at the position. So, I mean, he's a tight end one. Just set and forget it. And then as for the Bills, Jordan Matthews might come back this week, which would be great for Tyrod. I think he's a pretty good streamer this week. Even if Jordan Matthews doesn't play, I still think Tyrod's solid. He's averaged 18.3 fantasy points per game at home. Yeah. And then you're starting Shady McCoy. And other than that, Bills' defense is a good spot this week against because they might get Ryan Fitzpatrick. And we know he can move the ball sometimes, but he also loves to chuck it into triple coverage.
Loves it. Jags taking on Indy. French, what do you got?
We talked about Jacoby Brissett a little bit, starting him. The Jags defense has allowed 4 touchdown passes and 10 picks. I mean, 5 were in the one game against Pittsburgh and 23 sacks. So not starting Jake Brissett.
Hard pass.
Harmon mentioned he liked Marlon Mack as a deep sleeper with Robert Turbin out. I like that call. Maybe you flex Frank Gore.
Yeah.
By the way, can I read you this awesome stat from the research packet on Boye and Ramsey?
Yeah.
Granted. Through 6 weeks, they've allowed 35 catches on 81 targets for just 431 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 picks, and a passer rating of 43.8.
That's
not even – this isn't – you can't even say, like, small sample size now. This is 6 weeks. We're
bench
closing
Jacoby.
On half the season.
Start Jags D.
Start Jags D. Do it.
Saxonville, baby.
Saxonville.
Yeah, I think you can flex Frank Gore. He's been kind of like – I feel like he's maxed out at like 52 rushing yards in a game this year. So
the Turbin injury could benefit Gore too, though, because Mack has struggled in picking up protections and stuff because he was out there and – I think they noted on ATN as well, but you watched him miss a blitz pickup and Brissett got smashed.
Yeah.
Whereas Gore, like people were making gif of it. He picked up like a crazy good blitz pickup that set up a Brissett pass. So
Gore's
like,
a beast.
Might, even though he's 34 years old, like they don't have many other options. They might actually turn this more over to Gore too. So I kind of like Gore in this spot.
And he can catch too.
Yeah, and he can catch.
I'd be nervous about T.Y. Hilton after 1 catch last week against the Titans.
Oh, man. He should be fine against AJ Boye and
T.Y. Hilton.
I'm benching him.
I think you almost have
But maybe like Jack Doyle might be a nice sleeper at tight end if your tight ends against the Jags because the corner's
so
good.
Passes too.
He didn't show well. And then Fournette is the big storyline in this game. Like he's got the mysterious ankle knee lower body injury.
Yeah.
I don't think he's practiced Wednesday.
He
didn't practice Thursday. So I think they say like they said he could have returned last week to the game, but they held him out, which is maybe a good sign. I think he's still going to play, but you got to keep an eye on the situation heading 100%. Into Sunday.
Yep.
And if things are trending downward, definitely pick up Chris Ivory. But other than that, you know.
Titans in Cleveland. DeMarco Murray still has a sore hamstring. Fire up Derrick Henry. That's just in my opinion. I don't care what the FPA says.
What does the FPA say?
FPA says Cleveland's good against fantasy running backs. But
I could care less.
Exactly.
Could not care less.
Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Both these backs are cooking right now. I tweeted this out yesterday that they're both in the top 15 in yards after defenders close within a yard of them per Next Gen Stats. So they're really committed to this this backfield committee there, which I mean, I think they should be. These guys are both really good players. It's definitely going to be dicey with these guys going forward. Like, I think they're going to be much more volatile because they're splitting carries. But
I think in this particular game, it feels like a Derrick Henry second half game.
Yeah.
Where if they get up, 7, 10, 13 points on the Browns, they just give it to Derrick Henry and just ride that baby out.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And I think, obviously, Murray is a good play, too. Like, you want to start both these guys. Even if Murray's a little banged up, as long as he plays, I think you want to get him out there. Passing game-wise, I think that I think that Mariota's a fine play. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that he has a great ceiling because of this game. But
wasn't it? It was so hard to watch him. Like, he wanted to run last week. I know. He just like held himself back, and was like, "That's not him."
But the Browns defense is just like the way they're deploying. I know a couple people have pointed this out. I think Greg Cosell being one of them. But like the way they're deploying their defense right now, they're leaving the safety so far off the line of scrimmage. There's just these massive holes in the middle of the field, and that's why they're just getting whooped by tight ends. So I think Delanie Walker is a really nice play in this spot. And then on the Browns side, yeah, there's nobody I'm interested in.
All right, on the later games, Dallas taking on the 49ers in Santa Clara. Alex Gelhar, what do you got?
Well, I mean, Zeke's here for this game, as we said, so you're going to want to start him. You'll want to start your Dak Prescott's and your Dez Bryant's. They are good at the football, and Dez is getting a massive amount of targets. He hasn't done as much as we'd like to see with that volume, but you're starting him. And then, as I mentioned on Monday, the waiver wire sneaky pickup, maybe Cole Beasley. Bryant's been getting gassed through the slot. And we know Beasley had a great game last year. Had a great season last year with Dak, so there is a built-in rapport there. As for the 49ers, I think Hyde is a fine start. He retook over that backfield as we kind of anticipated.
Yeah.
And the Dallas front line has been pretty good, but they're allowing almost 100 yards per game to rushers on the ground and 56 through the air. They're near the top of the league in that regard. So Hyde's a solid play. Garcon, you're starting. And I think, like, Franchise wrote it up that you could make a case for streaming C.J. Beathard. The Dallas secondary can be beaten. And Beathard came right in off the bench and moved up and down the field last week. George Kittle, I mean, the guy's seen a bunch of targets. I think, like, 7 of his 8 targets came from Beathard last week.
Played together in college.
Iowa connection.
Connection.
Come on.
So, I mean, you can look to that. And that's about it. It's a pretty simple game to slice up for fantasy purposes.
Cincinnati in Pittsburgh. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
You are starting A.J. Green, Antonio Brown, and Lev Bell. Doesn't matter what the matchups are.
Yep.
I kind of like Joe Mixon here. He's the clear-cut lead back. He was before the bye for Cincinnati ever since they made the OC change. You know, we talked about him last week when I talked about trading for him in trade calls.
Yeah.
Steelers D has given up 5 rushing touchdowns, 112 rush yards per game to running backs. So I like Mixon. Not going to start any of the other Bengals backs. Tyler Kroft is available in a lot of leagues after the Bengals went on bye. I believe during the bye we learned that Tyler Eifert is getting back surgery.
Yeah.
So I feel like people like rush to pick up Kroft and then we're like, wait, the Bengals are on bye, and then might have redropped him.
Right.
If you're in need of help, he was playing about 90% of the snaps with Eifert out the last couple games. So he's kind of, you know, their top pass catching tight end and is kind of a low end streaming option there. I don't like either quarterback in this game, to be honest, either Dalton or Big Ben.
Nope. I want 0 parts of Dalton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pittsburgh's defense is great. Really good.
They are very good.
Really, really good. Seattle in New York taking on the Giants. Sterling Shepard back practicing with his ankle sprain. Possible volume play versus Seattle. I know it's not a terrific matchup, but whatever. It's there. Matt Harmon, what do you got in this game?
No, yeah, again, where you pick on the the Seahawks and teams like them with the strong exterior corners is in the inside, where Sterling Shepard runs most of his – I mean, the vast majority of his routes from the slot. And I think with – now that he's back in there, you know, with the way injuries have really just decimated this wide receiver core, Shepard's a player that I would think about buying right now because he could turn into, like – I think even maybe like a rich man's version of Jarvis Landry because he's probably going to get a ton of looks. I think he's a slightly better – player than Jarvis is, so
at least athlete.
Yeah. Well, sure. I've loved Shepard for a long time, so I'm a little biased when I say he might be a better player. But still, I really like him for fantasy now with the way they're getting 100%. The ball out quick. I think he's definitely somebody to explore buying
I put him on the waiver wire too because a lot of people probably dropped him.
I picked him up in multiple leagues. Yeah,
He's definitely somebody that's got a good outlook for the rest of the season, and I think starting in this game, the backfield for the Giants saw a lot of clarity last week with Orleans Darkwa getting like 20 carries and getting over on the Denver defense.
Man,
makes no sense.
What the hell, football?
I spent way too much FOB on Orleans Darkwa in a league I desperately needed a running back.
Oh, my God.
FOB.
Why? Why did you do it?
Because
played over 50% of the snaps, saw 21 carries.
I don't believe it.
It was against
that was the most outrageous fluke game ever. I don't think he will ever see those heights.
I don't know. He's looked good whenever they've thrown him out on the field.
He started out really well against the Chargers too and got that nice touchdown run before he got hurt.
And he's a guy, I mean, look, the coaching staff seems to like him.
They've
kept him around. Yeah, they've kept him around forever. He's got a cool name, so
he's got a hey, let's go.
Like we're all better off if Orleans Darkwa becomes a
household. You're right.
Does Siri still call you Orleans Darkwa?
Yeah, that's how long Orleans Darkwa's been around. I think my first season here. I think it was my first season here. Yeah, it was 2015, and he was like he had just popped up on the scene somewhere, and I was like, "That's hilarious." I'm gonna have Siri call me Orleans Darkwa. So like whenever I get it, it's always funny whenever I get I like email myself something from my Gmail back to my Gmail. It's like you got an email from Orleans Darkwa. I'm like, "Oh right, that's me." And it's just funny for me to be like Siri, I need you to do this. Like okay, Orleans Darkwa. So it's a fun, like I said, fun name. We should all be rooting for
it's
Orleans.
It's a cool name.
That's
but
a good point.
Seattle's given some production up to running backs on the ground. I think Darkwa is. You know, is someone to play this week.
I'm starting them.
All right.
And on the Seahawks side, I think this is a pretty good matchup for Seattle. I mean, they're on the road. They're never as good on the road. We know that. Their offense has been up and down this year, to say the least.
Yeah.
But I still like players like Jimmy Graham in this spot against the Giants. I like Doug Baldwin running routes out of the slot. DRC has been reinstated after his little timeout. And no running backs for you know, the Giants have been kind of bad on the ground, and there's been a couple spots where I've picked up Thomas Rawls just to see what happens.
I agree.
Because I think he could have a big game this week, and I'd rather him have that. I don't know if I want to play him. Like, I'd really rather not, but I'd rather him have that big game on my roster than on the waiver wire and then trying to punch people out to get him next week.
I agree. That I agree with 100%. Denver in L.A. taking on LCH, the Chargers. Alex Gelhar, what do you got?
LCH, I love your commitment to this.
I'm sticking to it, baby.
Well, Demaryius Thomas should see a boatload of targets. I mean, he might get shadowed by Casey Hayward, but with Emmanuel Sanders officially ruled out this game, I mean, Thomas saw 14 last week.
Demaryius himself is banged up, hasn't practiced, but is expected to play.
Yeah, I think he should be okay. So he's in a pretty good spot. I mean, I'm worried about Team Trev. He's a little injured as well and has been coming back down to earth, so I wouldn't trust him as a starter. I think this should be a spot for C.J. Anderson to get back right, but like you said, there's that report that Jamaal Charles is going to get more touches. Mm-hmm. That's worrisome. I still think Anderson's probably worth a flex. The Chargers have been just getting mashed on the ground.
They have.
And then on the flip side, don't want to really start Phillip Rivers against this defense. I mean, you can if you have to, but Melvin Gordon's in a good spot. He's a massive workhorse for them. Keenan Allen got a touchdown against the Broncos when they played in week one, but he's been a little disappointing in standard so far. So
Phillip Rivers has actually been pretty good, by the way.
He has been. No, he has been very good, but it's just this is a great great secondary.
Yeah, exactly.
And Hunter Henry should be a start. The Broncos have been beaten by tight ends because, again, we always talk about those great perimeter cornerbacks, can attack them in the middle of the field. And Henry has finally, like, usurped Antonio Gates and is getting a starter share of targets and snaps.
Makes sense. Sunday Night Football, Atlanta taking on the Patriots at Foxborough. Mo Sanu back practicing after missing a game with that hamstring injury. Matt Franchise, what do you got in this game?
I dropped Taylor Gabriel because if Sanu's back, I don't think he's very relevant. This is projected to be the highest scoring game of the week.
Really?
So there's going to be a lot of points here. Hopefully Matt Ryan and Julio
not with Hunley.
Yeah.
All right.
Start everybody.
Pretty much start everybody. Like both teams are bad at covering running backs, especially pass catching backs. Devonta Freeman, Deion Lewis could both see a lot of work in this game, both as pass catchers. So I like both of them.
Rex Burkhead probably maybe back this week.
I would love if Rex Burkhead came back and like he was a thing the second half and Mike Gillisley just fade. This is not a game to start Mike Gillisley at all.
Yeah, because it's a football game. So
right.
Oh my goodness.
Hopefully, Chris Hogan I think only had one catch last week, so this should be a good bounce back spot for him. You're obviously starting Gronk. I wrote up Matt Ryan in trade calls too as a buy low because he's been pretty awful so far this year.
Yeah.
But this is the beginning of a favorable second half for him.
Yeah.
I think, and the Pats have given up, 300 yards to every quarterback they face.
First team in NFL history to do it.
The fewest fantasy points that a quarterback has put up against them this year is, I think, 18, and it was Jameis Winston on
this
Thursday night
Bill
game.
This is a Bill Belichick defense.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
That can't rush the passer.
So I like Matt Ryan. You know, if you lost a guy like Aaron Rodgers last week, try to trade for Matt Ryan.
Okay.
Hopefully we see Julio Jones get in the end zone here because he hasn't. Oh, my God, what's going on?
I don't know.
But, if Ryan and Jones can't get right in this game, then it's panic mode, I think, on both of them.
I feel like they should just get rid of Sark and just get, the best Madden player out there. And just be like, yo, you're our new OC now because it can't be worse than what this guy is doing.
They have so much talent, and for that offense to be right now is very disappointing.
Matt Ryan has not played as well either. I mean, he's not even just regressed to the mean. I think he's just been under his mean.
Yes.
Last year, he led the NFL in passer rating under pressure and out when throwing outside the numbers per Next Gen Stats. This year, his pass rating outside the numbers, 72.3. His pass rating under pressure, 65.7.
That's not
luckily,
good.
Like you mentioned, he will not be seeing much pressure in this game.
nice Super Bowl rematch here. Should be a fun one.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, there you go. Monday Night Football, Washington at Philadelphia. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
See, we talk about what's the highest scoring game of the week. I think this could be one of the highest scoring games.
You know what?
For sure.
Right.
For sure.
Really excited about this game in
both
general.
Both defenses are super injured.
Yeah, and they have issues. I think the best defensive unit, like in terms of individual like personnel group, I think is Washington's pressure package. They did just lose Jonathan Allen, their rookie, who was playing really well. But so that's one area to look at with Carson Wentz. I mean, I think he could get some pressure again. This is in Washington, right? So, yeah.
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 Philly. In Philly.
It's in Philly.
Oh, excuse me. So what do I know? But anyway, so he should be fine. I like really, this is definitely a try to get everybody in Philly in this game into your lineup. Alshon Jeffrey has all the, you know, the profile of a top receiver in terms of overall volume and especially air yards volume. And I think this could be a get right game, obviously without
yes.
Josh Norman.
Yes.
So this is a week I want to start Alshon. And
sure.
then on Washington, it's really just, you know, take Kirk Cousins and don't bother with any of his pass catchers outside of Chris Thompson. I want to watch Josh Doxson in this game. I recommended him as a pickup on Deep Dive this week. He needs to get more playing time. He makes plays every time he's on the field, and the rest of the guys are disappointing.
I think Rob Kelly might be back for this game.
Could possibly.
Which would just make Samaje Perine irrelevant.
He has not shown well in relief of Rob
Kelly. Kelly's much better than Perine.
Yes. Daily Daps time. Let's go.
Daps.
Alex Gelhar, kick us off.
Well, give a Daily Dap to a friend and colleague, Connor Orr, one of the very talented ATN writers and a feature on their ATN podcast. They announced on their episode on Tuesday he is moving on to write for the Monday Morning Quarterback over at SI. So it's a bummer for us, but it's good for Connor. I mean, his star is continuing to rise. He's a very talented young writer and a great person. I've shared whiskey and cigars and stuff with him at the Combine and in Indy. So
there you go.
Daps to Connor Orr. And I just have a question. We've seen, you guys, I'm sure have seen this Steve Bannon thing with him having multiple, like, button-up collared shirts underneath each other on the internet.
No.
Well, Steve Bannon runs Breitbart, used to work in the White House, had multiple collared shirts. I'm struck by Harmon having, and it's not multiple collars, but he's got this double button situation
here. The Henley under the button up. I've debated this. Look, I have debated doing this, but I can't pull it off.
When I first noticed it sitting here, I was kind of shook. I'm like, why are there more buttons in there? Yeah. And I also wanted to do this because now Harmon's face, nobody can see it.
I've debated this.
I need to run this conversation back because this is spectacular.
I noticed this. This is on my radar.
Okay.
But you see, there's multiple button situations going on here.
I don't think it doesn't work. I think it works in the right scenario.
First of all, I think Harmon's pulling it off.
That's how they dress.
Whatever he's dressed like is that's how they do those figurines in the store.
If the
mannequins.
Oh,
the mannequins.
Right.
Thank you, Chris. And as the by far the best-looking man in this room outside of myself, I'm going to take your side on this one.
I feel attacked.
Good. You should.
The buttons match, so it's good.
So it's good. No, and I agree with what Franchise is saying. It has to be – and also the right color. Like, it can't be too very awful.
It's the picture of Bannon with his multiple.
Oh,
This is the triggering part to me that you used that as the seg. Because
that's what it reminded me of.
Okay, then that's what's triggering.
But Bannon has two collared shirts.
I know.
That is offensive.
Which is weird.
It's not the same as what you
but
have.
But it's pushing it though.
No, it's not.
That's not a collar. It's a Henley.
Okay, it's pushing it.
Does it make it better if I button the top button inside here?
No, I think
worse?
You're fine.
Yeah, I know I'm fine,
but I'm just trying
to help these.
That's a good look. That's fine.
I know it's a good look.
I wanted to start a discussion, and man, what wonderful audience.
Yes.
It's just
my lord.
It's just the fact that you use and you know, not anything, regardless of the human being that you're talking about, like, just that look is so horrendous. The multiple collared.
It is kind of
an
offensive look.
Bannon's is god awful, but that's why, like, because it's
the
like,
fact
you look
that
like the same collared shirt on, just layered. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's the fact that you use that as the intro to then throw the spotlight on me. That's what. That's what's not cool. Yeah.
Don't think that wasn't by design.
Oh my goodness, I absolutely love it. Matt Franchise, what do you got for Daily Daps?
I got two daps. First, while we were podcasting, our research team sent us this email about how terrible Amari Cooper's been. I just want to share some of these insane stats.
Oh god.
There are 8 players in tonight's Thursday night game, Chiefs Raiders, with more receiving yards than Cooper, including Chris Conley, Albert Wilson, and Seth Roberts. There are 17 NFL running backs with more receiving yards than Cooper this season, including Kareem Hunt, and 2 running backs on the Saints, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. There are 26 tight ends with more receiving yards than Cooper, including 2 tight ends on the Rams, Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett.
They both have more yards. Wow.
Wow, James was wondering if he could even name 39 tight ends in the NFL, and they're 20-something.
So props to our research team for digging that up. I was just like, I got to share this.
Amazing.
This is insane.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to a show tonight at the Greek Theater, which is an awesome venue.
Love the Greek.
In the Hollywood area. I'm going to see Haim.
Take him to the Greek.
Haim, the Haim sisters, the trio, they put this 15-minute music.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they're so talented. Really, they put out this 15-minute music video on YouTube a couple weeks ago. It's called Valentine. It's basically them in a studio live, like, performing 3 songs from their new album live. And it's, like, if you just watch the whole thing, you're just like, oh, my God, these girls are so talented. So it's pretty pumped for the show tonight.
I like it. All right, I'll give you 2, man. First one is Chris Long. He donated his first 6 game checks to fund scholarships at UVA, where he went to school. But now he's donating the last 10 game checks to start a charity dedicated to improving educational quality in various cities across America. I mean, say what you will, man, but he is playing this year for free. That, to me,
is
amazing.
Really cool. Yeah.
He signed a 2-year deal, $4.5 million this offseason. Chris Long is 32 years old. This is his last deal. And as a matter of fact, if you look at how the contract shakes out, unless he absolutely balls out, he's going to be a cap casualty this year. If you think about what he's doing, this is literally his last paychecks that he's going to be getting as a multimillionaire. And he's donating it all to charity and all of it to education. What he's doing is incredible. I know people have talked about it, but I feel like we haven't talked about it enough. The fact that this is probably his last 16 game checks.
Yeah.
And he's giving it all to charity. I just think that's amazing.
He might have a little bit more run. I mean, some of his aging pass rushers. But, like, yeah, it's his last, like, real deal. I mean, he might have better minimum kind of thing. But it's awesome. And, like, it's very cool. I mean, you know, we joked when J.J. Watt raised, like, $30 million or whatever for Houston that he was going to run away with the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Well,
yeah,
it's another horse in the race now, because this is pretty cool what Chris Long's doing.
I mean, the overall money obviously is not what J.J. Watt raised, but I just think about what he is personally sacrificing.
Yeah, it's an incredibly selfless act. It's really
pretty
awesome.
Cool, man. Anyways, if you want to get be involved, go to pledgeit.org. That's the organization that he has created. Again, it's Pledge It. So pledgeit.org. Second Daily Dap, not nearly as, I guess, impactful, but I have just been getting a kick out of this guy that I started following on Instagram and on Twitter. His name is Bob Menery. So he does these fake play-by-play highlights. It's extremely not safe for work. But if you have the chance and you've got headphones on, he does these fake play-by-play highlights that are super offensive. He uses a lot of adult language. It's absolutely hysterical. It's something that we have talked, like my friends and I have talked about. It's like, man, wouldn't it be cool if you could do like football play-by-play on HBO and just give no F's whatsoever and just call the game like that. But that's what this guy does. Anyways, go check him out. Bob Menery. It's spelled M-E-N-E-R-Y. He is absolutely hysterical, and he's absolutely killing it. Go check him out there. All right, Matt Harmon, what do you got?
I've got two today as well. One, Zach Reed at Tacit Assassin 13 tweeted me a song, I guess, that they used on their Dynasty podcast.
Okay.
And the quote – so immediately got me to click because the quote was, "Even Matt Harmon sobs because we lost A-Rob. Now I live a broken fantasy." So I listened to this song, and it's like basically a parody song about all the injuries that we've unfortunately suffered in fantasy football this year. Very well done. Very funny. Good. Definitely worth checking out.
Perfect.
And my second one, I wasn't sure if I was going to announce this on today's podcast, but after the slander thrown
slander
at me by my soon-to-be former roommate, I can officially announce that I am going to be moving to a new apartment. And
oh,
so
wow.
Daps to this company for taking me. So that's very exciting.
All right.
So very cool. Hopefully, officially, we'll sign paperwork on Friday. If
lovely.
Not, then I'll come back next week and tell you that I failed.
That you live under the 405.
Yeah, then I'm back under the 405.
Okay, good. When's the housewarming party? That's the important part.
It's pretty small. There's no party.
House.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Hilarious. We can all go out for drinks somewhere else.
We can all huddle around a six-pack and drink the beers like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my
maybe
goodness.
We can
walk to the garage afterwards.
Yeah, maybe we can have it in the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like right on Motor, so it's very close.
Oh,
nice. I'm never driving again.
Oh,
we'll tweet the address later today.
Yes.
Yeah, for all for all my
if you want to come stalk
my
stalkers.
My stalkers, yeah.
Can give you bad fantasy advice. We'll tell you which apartment to egg.
Yeah. Perfect.
Cool.
I like it.
Nice.
Producer Chris, what do you got?
Daps to opening night in Los Angeles, LAC tonight. Huh?
We got
Lonzo
the Lakers
Ball.
Versus Chargers?
What's Lakers,
versus Lakers versus Clippers?
Lakers-Chargers.
Lakers-Chargers
today.
There's another sport besides football?
Yeah. No, but I'm excited to see Lonzo Ball
yeah.
in his debut at Staples Center tonight.
For sure.
Also, daps to the franchise. Came on Chargers Weekly.
Ooh.
Dan Helly picked games. Franchise gave fantasy advice.
Booyah.
It's going to be a good one.
Cool.
Booyah.
Thanks for having me.
Daps to the NBA coming back. I'm trying to be more of an NBA fan this year.
A week early,
okay.
which
week
is
early.
Kind of throwing me
well,
off.
Well, they've got some exciting players in Milwaukee. The Greek freak, Giannis.
He had 36 points last night.
I know.
The Packers tweeted go Bucks yesterday.
I know.
Just stick to football, okay, Packers? That's my take on that, okay? All right, you're a football team. Just
the Bucks have an exciting team, I will say. Chris Middleton's actually a really good player that no one's ever heard about either. But yeah, they have an
– Giannis is 22.
Yeah, he's – it's
he's
unbelievable. 6'11". He's got a 7'3 wingspan or something stupid.
There was a highlight. I read a quick article on Deadspin this morning that they were like, let this be the season of Giannis. But he completed an alley-oop, and he was like 6 feet away from the basket.
He's got go-go gadget arms,
It was
man.
Such
it's
a surprising play that the ball came through the hoop, and one of the players on the Celtics didn't think he made it, so he picked it up, and he threw it to Kyrie Irving. And Irving's like, no, that went in.
Yeah,
he's like, that was in.
That's great. You know who you'll really like, actually, too, is Malcolm Brogdon. Very, very smart young man. I thought he was a dark horse rookie of the year candidate, but very good player. You'll actually like him. Very well spoken.
I'm
going to
be watching my Bucks tomorrow on ESPN. They play LeBron.
Let's go. All right. I like it. So that's your show for the WizKid from Wisconsin. For Matt Franchise and for Matt Harmon and producer Chris, I am James Coe. We will see you later.